Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Happy Pentecost.
Happy Pentecost to you too, brother.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's great to be back here again with you on Pentecost Sunday.
I got done counting the Omer.
Yeah, Today's 50.
That's right. Does that mean I can stop counting?
Yes, because today is the feast.
Today is the feast.
You've arrived.
Woo! What a great day.
This was the big feast.
The big feast. The big harvest.
The big harvest.
Law given, big wheat harvest. Woo!
It's like catching 153 large fish.
Yeah, and how cool is it? And how cool is it that the Holy Spirit comes into the upper room? All those people there are empowered for evangelism. The church is born, and it brings in a great harvest, which is still going on.
Yeah.
After 2,000 years.
Amen.
So, wow.
It's an awesome time.
It is an awesome time. And, you know, it's not only important for us in charismatic Pentecostal circles, but it's important to everyone. Because as we talked the last couple of weeks about the Great Commission and the Ascension, Jesus told those guys, don't try to do anything until you're clothed with power from above.
And, right.
Wow. You know, I like to say that those 9 days that they were praying in one accord is, I hope you're going to read in a minute, is the only time in Christian history where there's been Christian unity.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
That's true.
And they didn't even argue about what they were going to have for supper.
No.
Like this one wants Chinese, the other one wants to order a pizza,
yeah.
The other one wants to make stir fry. I mean, they didn't even argue about-
Just have matzah.
Yeah, just have matzah. And boy, it's kind of neat that they really kind of prepared themselves with this 9 days of prayer.
Yeah.
And they really, for a change, they followed what Jesus had told them to do.
Yeah, they did.
In a very disciplined, organized way, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So maybe we should read Acts chapter 2.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, the
first part of it.
Yeah.
So when the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came, from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." They were all astounded and bewildered and said to one another, What does this mean? But others said, scoffing, "They have had too much new wine."
That's good. Wow. So, of course, when you study the Torah, when you know the Old Testament, you get what it means when it says the time of Pentecost had fully come. Because they counted for 50 days. They counted the Omer from the first Sabbath after Passover. You count 49 days, and then the following day was the Feast of Shavuot, which means the Feast of Weeks. We call it Pentecost from the Greek for 50 days, and either way you slice it, it was 50 days after the first Sabbath after Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And so the feast had fully come because they were done counting the Omer.
Yes.
And all these people that are mentioned in that reading, and the reason that Luke takes pains to mention all these other people that are there is that Shavuot, Pentecost, is one of the pilgrimage feasts. It's one of the three feasts where you have to go to Jerusalem.
Yes.
Every man, women don't have to, but they generally did, but every man was supposed to go to Jerusalem and appear before the Lord. And so there was a ready-made audience
exactly.
already there for Peter to make his great speech that we'll right. get to it at some point. But this is the beginning, and there's a reason this is called the birthday of the church.
Yeah.
Because now all these people in the upper room, there's 120 of them. Mary was there. The apostles were there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. you know, quite a few right. others.
Right.
Obviously, 120 total. Are all baptized in the Holy Spirit all at the same time, and we see immediately the change that happens to them.
Yeah.
So the original harvest feast becomes the big harvest.
Yeah.
The original celebration of the giving of the law, now in the new covenant, the law is written on our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have a ham sandwich. We don't, that does not matter to your salvation.
Right.
But we have the law written in our hearts in the terms of now we're adopted sons and daughters.
Yeah.
Because of what Jesus did and because the Spirit tells us that. So this original feast day is really fulfilled so that all of us, and it wasn't just for them, so that all of us can bear fruit.
Yeah.
And the Spirit flows not mm-hmm. only into them, but into us.
Yeah.
And then through us so that we can do the things that are our mission to do, all on a free flow of the Spirit. And interestingly, each person got a separate little flame over their head. I mean, we don't know if it was little, but everybody got a tongue of flame because everybody there got different gifts.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. it wasn't, you know, some of them got the gift of music and all of a sudden they could play guitar. Oh, wait a minute. But they all got a gift, and Paul's later going to talk about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that all these gifts work together. Everybody has different gifts, same Spirit, but everything's geared to the building up of the body, which is the church.
Yeah. Now, the one thing they did was they began to proclaim the mighty acts of God.
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit didn't come so that they would be glorified.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit came so that God was glorified.
Amen.
And they spoke of the mighty acts of God, and all the people that were there heard them as if they were speaking in their own native language.
Yes.
And they recognized this because they said, aren't these people speaking Galileans?
Yeah.
So they would have been familiar with Galileans, the culture, their dialect, mm-hmm. or their pattern of speech. But there's countless, there's 12 different, 12 different groups of people that Luke identifies here.
Mm-hmm.
But they all hear them speaking in their own language of the mighty acts of God. So as the Holy Spirit comes, the gift is given. The gift is received,
mm-hmm.
and then here it comes. But others said scoffingly. See, there's three types of people. There's people that receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's people that question the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then there's people who are scoffers.
Yeah.
But then there's people that actually silence and stifle the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And that still happens.
Yes.
Today.
Yes. Because Paul tells us the Holy Spirit can be grieved.
Yes. Yes.
So there's always the mockers. Oh, these guys are just drunk.
They're just drunk. But then that's when our friend Peter stands up and says, just a moment. Let me tell you something.
Yes.
I don't know if we want to get to that yet or not, but we will in a second. But, you know, this is a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a great outpouring of the gifts of God. And as you said, all the gifts are given for the building up the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All the gifts are given so that God's kingdom is built up on this earth.
Yes.
So to speak. But they're all to glorify
Amen.
And give witness to and testimony to the mighty acts of God so that people can believe in God and receive the same gift of salvation that they had already received.
Yes. The gifts are not just for you.
Right.
Like if I can use you as an example, you have the gift of music, but if you just sat in your living room and played your guitar and played your keyboard and you wrote some songs and you sang some songs, but you never did it outside of your living room,
it would be of no purpose.
It would be of no purpose.
Yeah.
You'd feel good. You'd say, man, that's cool. That's a cool song I wrote. But it's not, but the issue is, I mean, if you have a gift of teaching and every day you sit for 8 hours studying the scriptures and make a teaching, boy, that's great for you. You say, wow, I really learned a lot today. Mm-hmm. But that's not the whole point of it.
Right.
And the fact, you know, we know that symbols of the Holy Spirit are water and oil. And now fire, because we know fire brings light, burns up impurities,
yes,
melts hearts, kindles other fires.
Yep.
And this is exactly the plan that was there with these people all getting separate gifts, being baptized simultaneously in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we see kind of an opposite of what happened at the Tower of Babel. The languages are separated, and now people speaking a language, everybody else understands them.
Exactly.
And it, interestingly, they say, aren't these all Babylonians? Aren't these all Galileans? I was teaching Daniel the other night, so I got Babylonians on the brain.
Maybe that's where it came from.
Yeah, maybe those Babylonians are here. Well, actually, the Hebrew word for Babylon is Babel.
Yeah.
So the same area. This kind of now brings believers together in unity. Psalm 133, which you could sing as Hinei Matov.
Yeah.
If you don't know that, you look up Paul Wilburn, look up Hinei Matov. But it's how great it is when brothers dwell together.
Yeah.
And instead of having separate languages, now everybody understands each other.
Yeah. And brothers, meaning brothers in Christ.
Amen.
Not Amen. Brothers of a nationality, but brothers in Christ. Because Christ... Our identity in Christ transcends our earthly identity.
Yes.
And that's something that, even today, that is something that I think is so sorely missed by the church across denominations.
Yeah.
Our identity in Christ transcends our earthly identity, our heritage.
Amen.
As important as our heritage might be to some people, and I understand that.
Sure.
But your identity in Christ transcends all that. Because without that, you have no salvation.
That's right.
So it is above everything else.
Yes. I mean, we are all, of course, nowadays you can't even say this, but we're all proud to be Americans and we love our country.
Mm-hmm.
But just because we're Americans, that doesn't ensure us salvation.
You're not a hyphenated American?
I am not.
Oh, okay.
Wow. My parents were, but I'm regular.
See, the hyphenated culture that we live in
identity
really
politics
diminishes.
Yes.
And when I say, you know, when somebody says, well, I'm this kind of a Christian or that kind of Christian, you're diminishing the work of the cross.
Amen. Exactly.
So just stop it.
That's right.
You're a Christian because not of what you say, but because of what Christ did
for
you.
For you on the cross.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit dwelling in you.
Exactly.
And so if you go from church A to church B and you're a born again believer and you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you can see that. In other people.
Yes.
So you don't say, oh, those people at church B, they're really screwed up.
Yeah.
Because when you go there, you realize that they're not really screwed up. They don't agree on all the same things we do, but.
Yeah.
But this was a brotherhood in the Lord brought together by the Spirit.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of neat because those guys who were there, who now suddenly understood a lot of things, like even our friend Peter is, we're probably going to mention, starts preaching and quoting scripture. Now, that's not like our friend Peter, right?
When did this happen?
He didn't do that very often. And he couldn't have done that an hour before.
Most likely,
Yeah, or like if somebody would have said to Peter the day before, so what does Joel say about this? He would have been like,
say about what?
Joel who? No, maybe he would have heard of him, but he didn't just go for the coffee and donuts. Sometimes he listened to the readings. So he knew a little bit about Joel, but probably not a lot. And he certainly didn't quote him in his day-to-day life. But when Jesus had said, when the other paraclete comes, when the spirit comes, and all these things that he's going to do, they would have never imagined the power that was going to come. Because there's a mighty driving wind that apparently you can hear all over the city, because everybody from all over the city comes over to see what's going on.
Yeah.
So this is really an outpouring of power.
Isn't it interesting, though, in contrast to when Jesus was born, where there was just a few shepherds that it was announced to. Here, God makes it known because of this driving wind, and everybody hears it, and they're speaking of the mighty acts of God.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Do we want to read Peter's speech at Pentecost?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's do that. So this is Acts chapter 2, beginning at 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed to them, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. These people are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. It will come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out a portion of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out a portion of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will work wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and a cloud of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and splendid day of the Lord. And it shall be that everyone shall be saved who calls on the name of the Lord."
Woo.
Woo. Wow.
Yeah, he quotes the prophet Joel immediately after being filled with the Spirit. And he points out, you guys, you know, some of you guys think these men are, these people are drunk. It wasn't just men. These people are not drunk.
Yeah.
It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. I mean, the scripture even tells us roughly when the Holy Spirit fell. A few minutes before nine.
Yeah.
Because Peter, you know, they didn't have watches, but Peter says it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
And listen to the authority that Peter uses. Listen to my, let this be known to you and listen to my words.
Yes. That's right. Powerful authority.
Yeah.
Listen to what I'm saying. You know, it's like when Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you."
Mm-hmm.
Listen to what I'm about to tell you, because it's really important. He says, listen to what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
And he points out that this is scripture being fulfilled that was spoken of by the prophet Joel, who, you know, he's got three chapters, you know, big deal. But, oops. But he's got my guy Isaiah 66. But this is the prediction of this outpouring. You know, like, as we talked about in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, there's limited outpourings of the Spirit.
Right.
Spirit falls on some guys. It says they prophesied once and they never did it again.
Right.
These guys prophesied from now until they died 30
exactly.
years later.
Yeah.
And this was a total outpouring. And when Peter goes out to do this sermon, it, as we're going to read, and we probably won't get to it because pretty soon the music will start, but he goes out and starts talking about Jesus. He doesn't go out and start talking about his experiences with the Holy Spirit. Because after this introduction, he tells them about Jesus.
Yeah.
Says, you wouldn't listen to him, basically, but now you're going to listen to me. You're going to listen to what we have to tell you. So you better pay attention to what I'm saying and what these other guys are saying. Because now the Spirit's poured out on all flesh. Now all flesh even means the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
But he points out that it's all economic groups, it's male and female, it's all ages, you know, it's on everybody. There's going to be dreams, there's going to be prophecies, there's going to be all these things. He's directed to the Jews, because, you know, the gospel is always preached to the Jew first and then the Gentile. He's directed to the Jews, but this is going to expand itself to all the nations in the same pattern. And it's going to be to the ends of the earth, which the main part of the message is, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And that this word has to go forth from Jerusalem, and we're going to be the witnesses of this. Now, he's got, you know, he says a lot of other stuff that's very powerful. I don't know if should we read all of it.
Yeah.
Sure. Go ahead.
He says, "You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the thrones of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed. Therefore my heart has been glad and my tongue has exalted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You fill me with joy in your presence.
Ooh. So yeah, read 29 too. That's
okay.
Good.
My brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day.
Yeah.
But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. Mm-hmm. God raised this Jesus. Of this we are all witnesses. Exalted at the right hand of God, he received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father and poured it forth, as you see and hear.
Oof.
For David did not go up into heaven, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies my footstool.
That's neat.
Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified.
Oof.
Wow.
Talk about cutting them to the heart. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Because these words are like a sword. They said they were cut to the heart.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 50 days ago, or, you know, 51 days ago, or whatever it counts out to be, they're yelling, crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
And now they hear Peter say, well, this Jesus that you crucified was the Messiah.
Yeah.
And he's David's son.
Yeah.
And David calls him Lord.
And David's
got to be more powerful than David for David to call him Lord.
Yeah.
And David's not calling his own son Lord.
Exactly.
So this is the eternal son. You guys had him killed, and God raised him.
Yeah. And they asked Peter, what are we to do?
What are we going to do now?
And he doesn't say, go to the temple and offer a sacrifice. He says, repent.
No, that's
and believe right. that he's the Messiah.
Yes.
And your sins will be forgiven.
Yes.
And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is why the gift of the Holy Spirit is so important, because whenever somebody comes to faith in Christ, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, exactly.
It's not parted out.
Right.
And this was so important, because when they were to make disciples of all nations and baptize them, at their baptism, they laid on hands, and when they received Jesus, they received the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Not partiality.
Amen.
The fullness, right. Just as they received the Pentecost.
Yes. Woo, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Very good. And I think it's so cool that he quotes from Joel, he quotes from several of the Psalms, we didn't even have time to go into all that, but he quotes from several of the Psalms.
Can we extend the show today?
Oh, man. We're going to have probably 8 Pentecost shows.
Probably. Well, we can do another Pentecost show.
But I think we're probably have to.
The Pentecost season is a long one.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, he points out that we're eyewitnesses of what happened to Jesus.
Yeah.
And we saw him when he rose. And he told us that this day was going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not just the prophet Joel that told us. Jesus right. told us this not too long ago, a couple of months ago.
And they came to know that they shared in the same anointing that came upon Jesus in the Jordan.
Exactly.
To raise the dead, heal the sick, give sight to the blind, and set captives free.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that same spirit operates in us.
Exactly.
There's a song I can't think of right now, but that's what it's about.
Yeah.
That same spirit dwells in us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we listen to him, if we're motivated by him, if we're empowered by him, that's how we get the gospel out. And there's already music playing.
Amen, brother.
You're just getting round up. Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Pentecost day. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we just prayed that as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples and the apostles in the upper room this day at the Feast of Pentecost, that you too would receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and proclaim him to the ends of the earth as Lord and Savior. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.